You can be seated, and please turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy 5:31 as we continue in our study through this last book of the law, the five books of the law in the Old Testament. And last week we really went a lot into the New Testament to emphasize that when the law was being given to man at Mount Sinai, that the people, they just didn't even want to hear it. They realized that God was so holy, we can't be here to admit that we're not holy. We can't come into the presence of a mighty God. And they wanted Moses to be the mediator. Moses, you go do this. We can't be this close to God. And we see that God was setting us up for the new covenant. The new covenant was Jesus coming down. It wasn't God's plan that man would get the law and then they learn how to do all the do's and not do the don'ts and then they're right with God because we're fallen. He knows we're rebellious. But he wanted to leave that 1,500 years between the law and Jesus to show man, you can't do it. Nobody can do the law. Nobody's righteous. So let me send my son Jesus. And if you believe and trust in him and admit that you're a sinner, admit that you don't do the law, that you have rebellion in your heart towards me, if you admit that and want to change, you want to be submitted to me in your heart, then I'll save you and I'll change you. And so that's the end game. The end game is the second covenant, the new covenant, the covenant of forgiveness and love for God. And God even said to the people, oh, that they had such a heart in them to fear him and to love him. And see, when we become a believer in Jesus, all of a sudden our heart is not fearing whether there's, lights behind us when we're driving down the road or the cops come into our... We're not fearing the cops. We're not fearing the cop God. We're not fearing the real cops in human level. But we have a fear of the God of love who wants to give us everlasting life. And we have a relationship with him. And so it's an awesome thing to go into the new covenant of forgiveness and having God change our hearts. And so... today, we're going to see that, the greatest commandment that Jesus talked about is found in our study today in Deuteronomy. But chapter 5, finishing chapter 5, as we did last night, just these last few verses. But as for you, Moses, stand here by me, God, on Mount Sinai, and I will speak to you all the commandments, the statutes, the judgments, which you shall teach them. I want you to teach all the people when you go down the mountain. And they said, hey, Moses, you go up there. You go hear the rest of the statutes from God. We're going to stay down here. Which you teach them that they may observe them in the land which I am giving them to possess, the land of Israel. Therefore, you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you. And here is a line that's repeated many times in Deuteronomy, that you may live and that it may be well with you and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 18:15. So everything that God says in his word, people reject God, they reject his law, they reject his word. And everybody that does, everybody is, I don't want to believe what God says to do. They always make their life, and the country, if the country adopts it, makes it miserable. And see, what God says is, I'm your creator. I know you. I know the best way for you guys to live in harmony with each other. And if you just do what I say, it'll be well with you. It'll be good. And yet, in our rebelliousness and having an enemy of our soul, Satan, who hates God and wants us to hate him with him, he leads us, he can, through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, he can deceive us into rejecting the wisdom of God and his commandments and go off and do our own thing and to our own demise. But last week I was talking about how Moses was a mediator and Jesus became our mediator, and I wanted to show one more sample of that by going, to Deuteronomy 18. We're skipping ahead. And this is what he's telling the people in Deuteronomy 18. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst. Meaning, it's going to be a Jew. There's going to be another prophet that's going to come, because Moses was recognized by the nation of Israel. You are the prophet. You can go up to the mountain and you can hear the law of God. And you're telling us all this stuff. And you told us what's going to happen with the 10 plagues and parting the Red Sea and all this other stuff. So you're a prophet. And Moses is being told by God God is going to raise up another prophet from their midst that's going to be a Jew from your brethren. And then God says, him you shall hear. Now your Bibles will have him capitalized. Now, it wouldn't have been capitalized if him was Moses. So who do you think him is? You know, him is Jesus. And him you shall hear, according to all your desire of the Lord your God in Horeb, Mount Sinai, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see his great fire anymore, lest I die. So we covered last week that emphasis. The people are going, oh, we don't want to hear his voice anymore. I mean, his voice came down with the Ten Commandments, and we're just like trembling, and we don't want to hear anymore. Moses, you go up. And so what God is saying is, I'm going to give them their desire. You know, Moses, you came up and you talked to me, but in the future, 1,500 years in the future, I'm going to send another prophet like you, going to be a Jew. And he's not going to come with fire and judgment. He's going to come with grace and truth. He's going to come in a human form and speak to you as God. And the Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet, capital Jesus, like you, a mediator, from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth. What did Jesus say over and over again? These aren't my words. These are the words that God has given me. You know, I am here. You see me, you see the Father. Why do you say, show me the Father? Because if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The words I have are the coming from God, which he's God too. Put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him, and it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. You know, that's why we say, you know what? You need to believe and trust in Jesus as your Savior. You're going to die and go to hell. Because that's the truth. That's what Jesus says. If you don't believe in me, he said to the scribes and Pharisees, the religious leaders, if you don't believe in me, you will die in your sins. And it's clear in everything else that he taught, if we die in our sins, if we die uncured from our sinful and rebellious condition against God, if we don't get that fixed, then we can't go to heaven. Because if we don't want to get fixed from our rebellion against God, then that means we want to keep rebelling. See, if I don't want to get fixed from rebellion, that means I want to be rebellious. And you know what? Heaven's not going to be a good place if there's a bunch of rebels running around who are still rebelling against the creator of the universe. And so we all have to humble ourselves and just say, God, I want to be fixed. I want to stop rebelling. I want to change my heart. I want you to be the Lord of my life. And that's what Jesus came to do, is make a way that he could do that, because he was willing to forgive us for the rebellion that we had already had. And then said, and then I'll open up your chest spiritually and I will start fixing your heart. And you're over the lifetime, you're going to get more and more conformed to my image, because the Holy Spirit is going to bring to remembrance the things I've said. And since now you're not ripping out pages of your Bible or the whole Bible itself, you're wanting to listen to it and go, oh, that's what God says. Oh, that's different than what I'm doing. Oh, God, I'm going to change. I want you to rule my life. That's what our sanctification is all about from the time we get saved. And that's why we're going to the law. We're going to be, you know, it's not really getting into the law yet in Deuteronomy. Moses is setting the stage of how important it is to believe what the law says before they go into the promised land. But when we get to it, we're going to, every single time, oh man, that's not what society says. Oh, you'll get in trouble if you say that in society, et cetera, et cetera. Well, how much should a Christian care what the society says? Are we a slave of the world and the way the world thinks? Or are we the slave of what God says? Well, God changes our heart to say, I want to be a slave of Jesus. I don't care what the stupid world says, because it's going away. And so I wanted to point that out. And actually, people would say, when you read the New Testament, it says, they came to John the Baptist and they said, are you the Messiah? No. Are you that prophet? And when they're talking, are you that prophet? They meant this prophecy of Deuteronomy 18. Nope, I'm not that. That's Jesus. He's the Messiah. He's that prophet. And imagine God saying, you got to listen to him. Well, how can he do that? Who are we supposed to listen to? God. But if he's sending somebody that you got to listen to him, that means that, wow, he's God too. Jesus was God in flesh. We just sang about the Trinity in one of our worship songs. So back to 5:23. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, Deuteronomy 5:23, that you may live and that it may be well with you and that you may prolong your days in the land which you possess. You know, so this is the answer to, you know, most people, they raise their children. Daddy, why do I have to do that? Because I told you. That's what my parents said, because they were godless. Because I told you. But you know what the Bible tells us to say? Because God said. You know why you aren't going to be allowed to watch all the same filth that your friends at school watch at home? You know, their parents watch filth and this and that. And, you know, Dad, we want to do too. We want to have HBO and all this other stuff. And because everybody is raising in this lust-filled world, more and more lust. Why aren't you going to do that? Because God told us to not live in the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. We're going to honor God. This world and all of its lusts are going to go away. And you know, if you feast your eyes and your life into that world, you'll never be satisfied. You'll never have a good marriage. You'll never raise children properly. You will destroy your life and destroy the society along with it. And, oh, okay, Daddy. And that's what he's saying, that it will be well with us. And we have to listen to the same thing ourselves, don't we? You know, Daddy, why? Oh, because I told you, I made you, I know you, and this is what you better do. Just do it, and it'll be okay. Deuteronomy 6:1. Now, this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess. What land? See, they're going across the Jordan to possess the land of Israel, what was the land of Canaan. What are we crossing over? What's our river? Death. Where are we going? Heaven. And so it really is to teach you that you may observe them in the land that you're, you know, if we don't like God's law now, we don't want to go to heaven. Right? Because it's going to rule there. I mean, God's ways are in heaven. And that's why truly somebody that's still in rebellion against God, I don't like that. I don't like what you say there and here. There's something wrong, because that's where we're going. That's where we say we want to go. And that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you and your son and your grandson all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. It's important for parents and grandparents to have godly discipleship into their family. You know, a God-fearing family respects the patriarchal leadership of God-fearing people to help in raising children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. And that's the way it really should be. And that's the way it was in the nation of Israel. That's the way it was in a God-fearing nation. But as we get away from that, you can't go over to Grandpa's. He's into Jesus. Or you can't go over to your father's house and stuff. And people are even trying to get children out of, grandparents are trying to get children out of, their grandchildren, out of homes that teach Jesus because they think that they're ruining them. You know, we had some issues. You know, my dad, when we were starting to homeschool, they thought that, oh man, what's going to happen to your kids? What's going to happen to your kids? I could tell that pressure was there. And, because the world doesn't understand. We don't want, although they did end up going to, you know, God's plan for them was some private school, homeschool, other schools. You know, it was, but we could see their character was not being swayed totally to ruin them in that. And so we are the parents. Godly parents should be raising our children and to have an effect on them even as grandparents and great-grandparents. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly. How does a country multiply greatly? What is it about God? He just makes them fertile? Well, all the things that lead to death and destruction is in the sinful world, isn't it? You know, as people, how many of you want to go over to Seattle these days? You know, if I had a death wish, I'd go over there. And then if I really, really wanted to die, I'd get on one of the buses while everybody's smoking fentanyl. You know, there was a special on TV about they're openly smoking fentanyl and the fumes in the buses. And you know why they want to go there? Because they don't want, it's too windy outside. And so I don't want to have some of my fentanyl fumes to be lost in my getting high here. So if I get on the bus, because, you know, the DA, these wicked, evil, secular DA people that just let everybody go and nobody arrests and down with the cops and all that other stuff that comes from the devil, that idea. So they just are willy-nilly. And so the bus drivers say, I'm getting headaches from smelling fentanyl from these guys smoking. Now, where would all of this go? Destruction. Complete destruction. People just, in the school system, the colleges, they just, you know, we came over here and we did genocide on the Native Americans and we stole their land and everything. And I was talking to one person about that was really of that mindset. And I go, you know, think of how many, how populated was America when the Europeans came over here? Not very much. Well, how populated was Europe? Quite a bit. Europe was really populated. And they had the Black Plague, and they were slaughtering each other all the time in the different, you know, France against Britain, Britain against France, this and that, and they're slaughtering, but they were still populated. How come they weren't populated here? Because they were worshiping demons, because the Native American culture is deceived into demons, and they're slaughtering each other, and they're worshiping spirits, and Satan is in charge. There wasn't that many people here. You know, look at how much it's exploded since we've come here. You know, because they say, oh, those Christians came and tried to Christianize. You know, take them away from their religion. No, tried to bring them life. Because we know, they hate us for thinking this. We know this is the truth. How do you know your religion's the truth? Because Jesus and the empty tomb, and because the history of the Jews and the Old and New Testament couldn't have possibly been written by just men conspiring together, put this story together. This was God Almighty that breathed through the prophets and the apostles into this truth. And everybody that follows it as truth, they live a prosperous and loving life towards other people. And so we want to bring truth to people because we're bringing life to people. You want to let us leave them in deception of worships of demons and spirits? If we care for people, we're going to do it, aren't we? Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord your God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. And news this week. How many of you followed the news out of Texas? The courts halted the executive order by the governor of Texas, saying to the protective services, any parents that give their children hormones for sex change are committing child abuse. Now, is that a biblical mindset or is that a worldly mindset? It's a biblical mindset. You know why? Because we're going to get into it. But the Bible says, you know, a man's not supposed to wear women's clothes, a woman is not supposed to wear men's clothes. It's an abomination to God. You know why? Because there's something about putting on the other sex's clothes that Satan inspires inside of people, and then they can all of a sudden start identifying. And if they identify and go down that path, what happens to them? They never get to enjoy. They never get to have the joy and pleasure of being a parent over their own children in a loving way from, you know, monogamous, heterosexual, until death you depart, living and raising children, and ruins their life, destroys their life. So is it child abuse to do something to help a child to destroy their life the way God, the creator of the universe, intended it to be? Absolutely. But the whole world's against them. You know, the media went against them. A court shut it down. Now think about this, though. In Washington, they're trying to, and what the reason is, they're saying he didn't have his executive power. He doesn't have the power to do that. It has to be legislature. Well, you know what the legislature is doing in Washington? The legislature in Washington is trying to pass this year. I don't know what the status is of it, but from the Family Policy Institute of Washington, I was educated about what the bill is supposed to do. If you don't affirm your children when they come back from school and say, Mommy, I don't think I'm a guy anymore. I think I'm a girl. And I want you to help me, because the kids at school say, you can help me and I can get some hormones to be that way. And if you say, oh, no, that's, you're being deceived by Satan. God has a plan for your life. You're too young to make this decision. And you can't go down that path. And we're not going to let you go down that path. And we're going to talk to you and disciple you into the truth. You can be considered a child abuser. And even if one parent is affirming and the other one is not affirming, you might lose the ability to have anything to do with your child. We are self-destructing. Now, why? The big picture of this, we're headed to global government. What do the global government people want? According to the Georgia Guidestones that the globalists put up, they want the Earth's population reduced to 500 million people and sustained there for the benefit of Mommy Earth. That's the entire world population, not even twice America's population. They want to get rid of billions of people. And they've been trying to do it through this COVID thing, the jab thing, and homosexual agenda, transvestite agenda, virtual robots, virtual sex, robot sex. All this stuff that's coming into our society is all being inspired by Satan, who hates human beings, bringing it into the world to destroy us. And see, it's happening around us. It's affecting us. How many people knew that there was a bill that was going through this year that was planning on doing that to make us child abusers? A few of you. See, we're asleep at the wheel of what's going on. And what is it that's happened that's allowed that to happen? Because we didn't vote for enough Republicans, most of which turned into rhinos anyway. No, that's not it. It's because our people want this. How in the world could they even have put on the news that those, you know, that bad governor of Texas, because he did this, why would they put that on the news except for most of the people agree with him being wrong? It gets ratings. It gets where the people are at. So what happened? We failed to teach the Word of God, the law of God, to our culture over the decades since we became a Christian nation, bringing the Bible here to America, and the church has failed to bring these laws into the hearts and minds of the people so that they could at least fear the Lord, so it could be well with us. So it's because we've not done that, it's not going to be well with us. And imagine being persecuted as a parent for telling your children. I had somebody... Friend brought their child in, a daughter. She's thinking she wants to be a guy. And I said, and it was just so shocking to me. And I sat down, I go, why is it? I mean, do you really feel that way? Or is it just because you're in the public schools and you're not cool if you don't think that you're not what you are? And she said, and I think she was being truthful. I don't think she was just telling me. She just wanted to be hip in school. Now imagine that. Mommy, Daddy, I want to change my sex because I want to be hip in school because I don't want to be the outcast in school. Oh, okay, well, we'll give you some hormones and ruin your life for the rest of your life. Give you hormones, let sex surgeries happen, and destroy your life. Ugh. I can't wait to go home. Deuteronomy 6:4. You know, God speaking through Moses. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Let's turn to Genesis 2:23, because we again worship God with this song about the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the doctrine of the Trinity, that our God is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, there's a lot of cult groups that say that Jesus is not God. There's other people like the Muslims who they believe in one God, and you believe in three gods, and so you are a pagan. The Muslims think that we're idolaters, pagans, because we worship three gods. So what about this verse? They'll use this verse. The Lord our God, people will use this word. The Lord our God is one. That word in the Hebrew is echad, and it doesn't mean one and only one. It has several different meanings, but let's look at the easiest one to discern in Genesis 2:23. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This is when woman was taken out of man's rib. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. That word one is echad. And so the two will become one. Now, my mom and dad weren't one. They were two, but the Bible declares them as one. So in other words, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they're all one in the same way that a man and wife are one in their parenthood and who they are as a family unit. Go to Genesis 1:26. Genesis 1:26, then God, by the way, the God word in the Hebrew is Elohim, which has a plural unity to it. And in fact, it's the same word when the Bible is talking about the gods, like idol gods. It uses the same word. The translators have to decide whether it's a little g gods or the big G God by the context, because it can mean plural there too. Then God said, let us. Well, who's us? Well, God. God says us. Let us make man in our image and according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing. So there was an us creating the heavens and the earth and everything in it. So that implies a plurality of the Godhead. Let's go to Genesis 11:6. We covered this in our recent study about the Ukraine-Russian war, because the world was unified with one language at the Tower of Babel, about to self-destruct shortly after the flood of Noah had reduced the population to 8. The people are already going into wickedness, and God is saying, I have to divide their languages, so they split up so they aren't one world government. And as we're now going back to one world government, and there's going to be a wicked man at the head called the Antichrist. But Genesis 11:6, and the Lord, Yahweh, said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do, being wicked. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth through confusing their languages, and all the different language groups went to different places. And they ceased building the city of Babel. So, that verse in 6:4 of Deuteronomy does not say, is not a verse against the doctrine of the Trinity, because the Bible is clear that Jesus is God, the Holy Spirit is God, the Father is God. Those three are one, and that's what the one is, the echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, going back to Deuteronomy 6:4. The Lord our God is one in a triune way, and everybody that teaches that Jesus isn't God are not Christians. The Mormons are not Christians. The Jehovah's Witnesses are not Christians. They can read a Bible all they want, but they do not believe in the Godhead. We have to believe that Jesus is God or we're lost. Because God so loved the world, he sent his Son, born of a virgin, as the Son of God, to be our deliverer. If he's not God, then he can't die on the cross for our sins. He's just a regular human being. He had to be God in flesh. And that's what Emmanuel means. Emmanuel means God with us. And it was prophesied in the Old Testament that when Jesus comes, he'll call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Not some prophet with us, not some do-gooder with us, not somebody just like Muhammad with us. It's no, God was with us. Just like, you know, Moses was already told, I'm going to send you another prophet. He's going to be like you, and you got to listen to him because God is coming down to man. God came to man and said, you better listen. This is the last shot. You got to listen to this. You got to believe and trust that I am dying on the cross for your sins, or you're lost. And so, verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. We just sang this song, except we added mind also, right? Well, that's when Jesus quoted this verse in Matthew 22:36, when he was asked, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Well, Deuteronomy says strength, so it's the strength of our mind. This is the first of great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, as we go through Deuteronomy in the subsequent weeks, we can literally, according to Jesus, we can take every law that's in here and say that it's all wrapped up into, I'm going to love God with everything I have. And I'm going to love my neighbors myself. So let's just take even some of the Ten Commandments. I shall have no other gods before me. You know, I am the Lord your God. I delivered you out of Egypt. You shall have no other gods before me. Does that fit into one of those? Yeah, I've got to love God. I don't want to love something else's God. You're not going to blaspheme my name. Oh, yeah, because I love you. If I love my mom and I use her in a dirty way in my language or anything else, mock her name, my father's name, or anybody's name, I don't love them. So, thou shalt not murder. Well, of course, I don't want to. I'm supposed to love my neighbor as myself. I mean, everything fits into this. And so now, let's ask ourselves the questions. Do we, even as Christians, do we love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our mind? I'll confess I don't. Because if I did, I would be totally in harmony with Jesus. I would never have another thought. You know, sometimes I can have thoughts that just like, man, you know, I'll snap out of it. I go, what am I thinking? Jesus says, wrath is mine. You know, I don't need to do some of the, you know, my mind can just sit there. Lord, can I fix the planet a little bit by just doing this and then? Take out a few politicians that want to make it so I'm a child abuser for telling my grandchildren that they can't have hormones. Okay, what other confession is somebody that doesn't have their mind totally devoted to Jesus? But we should all strive to as a believer, right? And that's where we sit there and go, Lord Jesus, I mean, not my will, not my thinking, not my way. Don't rely on my own understanding. In all my ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct my paths. And that's what the changes, God comes in us, and we know that's where we're going. And God uses trials and tribulations in our life to die to our own flesh, to die to our own way. And when we read the Bible over and over and over again, we're sitting there going, okay, I can't think that way. Slap ourselves. Stop thinking that way. Stop doing that way. Because we now worship Jesus, and we want to follow him. The second of the two commandments is in Leviticus 19:17 in your notes, where it's all, now think about this. This is not the way the world thinks. This is the way God thinks. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. Well, God, there's some people I know that they deserve to be hated. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor. Oh, go ahead and tell them that they're in sin or they've rebelled. They've ripped you off. They've done something terrible to you. Go rebuke them, and not bear sin because of him. But don't sin. You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So why is that? What is that character of God that allows us to do it? What if God would have taken vengeance on us? How about the first time that I ever swore and used his name and just hatred and used to all the time talking hatred towards the God who I actually technically didn't even believe in, but I had no problem cussing, swearing, and using Jesus' name in vain and giving Christians, churchgoers or Christians, a horrible time for being so brain dead as to believe in that stuff, to stop reading your Bible. Even told my sister to leave a Bible study. I found out this place is a Bible study. She's gone and she's not coming back. And God should have just snuffed me right then to just have my sister not have to wait several years to come to saving faith again. She was so mad at me that I had pulled her out because I was big brother. She respected me. Okay, you're watching out for me. And then I become a Christian. I tell her, Renee, I was wrong. You need to believe in this. She goes, my life's so messed up now. You ruined me. I thought I was on that path. I don't want to hear it. And then it was years until she finally gave her life to Jesus and we had a fellowship again in Jesus. So God should have snuffed me, but he didn't. When we realize, so all the things that are happening, in fact, Wednesday night, Dustin, finished Ephesians. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. This is how we get set free. You know, it's not the politicians in Washington. That's not the problem. It's they've been deceived by Satan. They've been deceived by the enemy of their soul and our souls. And so instead of a hatred, it's like, man, if they could just know Jesus, maybe they're possessed and you're never going to get to them. They're just gone. But it's still, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And it's the word of God and the love that we can have in Jesus to minister to people that can set them free. If anything, if there's any hope at all, it's going to be for them to be like me, to turn from hatred against the Lord and against his ways into love, because they hear the love of Jesus. And the warning, you're going to go, you are doing something that is an abomination to God. If they allowed us to not Zoom and actually be there, and I was there at the house once talking about, you're messing with God's, you know, you're fighting God. We could go there and warn them. You think you're just making laws with impunity, and that there is a God you're going to answer to. You can warn them about that, because he's the judge. So, and then Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Who's the helper? By the way, in my Bible, it's capitalized because it's talking about who? God the Holy Spirit. That he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit in us is giving us a love for God, for a desire, as Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. There was a guy, professing Christian, and he was, you know, he was just trashing his life. I love God. I said, no, you don't. You love yourself. Because you're not providing for your children. You're cheating on your wife. You're spending your paycheck at the bar and grill. You're got a DUI. You lied to the cops. No, you don't love God. I mean, you can say you want to love God, but you don't. Because you destroyed your life. And stay that way years later, still destroyed. Living on the street. Came by to get some food. Because he didn't do what was well for his life. So do you love God? I love God. There should be, you should be able to be accused of saying, okay, yeah, because you know what? You don't like the world. You love God, you don't like the world. If you like the world, if you love the world and the things of the world, then the love of the Father is not in you, is what Jesus said through the Apostle John. You know, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you, and the love of the Father is the love of Jesus. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Verse 6, Deuteronomy 6:6. And these words, which I command you today, shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk to them when you sit in your house. What happens in your house? What happens in the houses of America, the Western world today? What's teaching? Who's teaching in the house of America today? TV. And the TV is full of biblical teaching and honest love for God, and so that's not so bad. You won't hear a squat about Jesus or the Word of God at all on any TV program. And yet it's on all the time in most houses. And shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way. What's the equivalent today? Driving in your car. What's the conversation while you're driving in your car with your children? When you lie down, what's the equivalent? Bedtime stories. What should the bedtime stories be, parents? It should be the Word of God. It should be, this is what God is saying. This is what it's going to take for the miracle of your children growing up and having a fear of God, so the next generation can have the blessings that your generation is going to have when you get into the promised land. You better be talking to them in their house, you know, talking to them when you're in the car, talking to them about the law of God and the mercy and grace of God through Jesus Christ. Better talk to him about it when you're going to bed. The last thing you should be doing is, this is where I'm going to read you a chapter out of the Bible. I'm going to teach you at your age level. I'm going to teach you something. And we're going to close in thankfulness to God that he's given us a roof over our head and that we had dinner tonight and everything else, because he is the creator and he loves us. And the same thing when you wake up in the morning and it's Jesus is on the brain in the morning. Now, that didn't happen in our house all the time. And it's something we can aspire to, right? Here's something in the law that can become part of our life to the extent that we can allow it to work. And I would say that because it's so rare in the family today, that's why the statistics are 70, 80, some people are saying 80% in polls of children growing up in a Christian home abandon the faith when they go off to college. And I would say, well, how many of those people had their parents teach them the whole Word of God while they're home? How many of them had them in the morning while they're talking in the car? Look at creation. Look at how God created everything. There's no way this could have happened by evolution. We have an almighty God that has come. Look at the history of the world of people that have rejected God. Bad things have happened. We, this family, are going to serve Jesus. As for me and my house, we're going to worship the Lord. And how many of the kids that go running off can say that, oh yeah, all my life, my parents were putting that stuff in my head and I didn't want to believe it. Probably very few. It's the fact that they didn't get discipled. They went to church maybe, in Sunday school, but it wasn't real enough to become part of their life in the home. And then he tells them, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. You know what? Jews to this day, in fact, you have the picture in your notes, right? Does the picture show up in the notes? Yeah. So you see that Israeli Defense Force. This is a modern picture. This is a modern picture of an Israeli Defense Force guy. And see the straps around his forearm? That's holding a phylactery box on his hand. A phylactery box is... they would put the Word of God in. See, they take this literally. When I'm getting into the Lord and discipleship and stuff, they don't know Jesus, but they're using this in the Old Testament. There's a box on his forehead too. And so you can see they literally put this on their forehead, bind it to their arm. When you go to Jerusalem and you go to the Western Wall, what's called the Western Wall or the Wailing Wall, on the Sabbath or even other times, Orthodox Jews are sitting there getting into the Word of God and bind them in obedience to this. And so, you know, thousands of years, 3,500 years later, people are doing this and then putting it on the doorpost of your house. They have mezuzah on the house where there's scriptures inside that little box. And what the Jews will do getting into their house, they'll kiss their fingers and put it on the mezuzah saying, I love the Word of God. Tragic that most of those don't know Jesus, but they're wanting to know the Word of God and to love the Word of God. So it shall be, verse 10, when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, when you have eaten and are full, like we become, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, lest we forget Jesus set us free from this fallen, sick world. That we get saved, and I'm saved, and now I enjoy all the blessings of a culture that got blessed because of fear of God in the better day. And all of a sudden the world kind of comes into my life and I just don't really pay that much attention to what Jesus did for me on the cross to set me free. And the world can come into my life, can come into my thinking, it can occupy my time. Did the Jews forget, by the way? Oh yeah. Did bad things happen as a result? Yeah. Oh yeah, we forgot the part that you said, don't slaughter our children, don't feed, you know, your children to the arms of Molech. And so they did. Don't worship other gods. Oh, they worship the other gods of the nations around them. And then those gods behind which are demons changed their culture, destroyed them. We're doing the same thing in our culture today. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him and shall take oaths in his name. See, our founding fathers, God-fearing people, and our culture for years, it was, you know, you didn't have to have confusion. Oh, do you want to swear on a Quran, or do you want to swear on the Hindu Vedas, or do you want to swear on this, you want to swear on that? In America, it was you swore on the Bible, because there was a culture of America that was, this is the true God, and I'm going to swear, I'm going to tell the truth, or affirm. Jesus says, don't swear, but instead, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And you know, they changed the language because Christians were saying this is unbiblical to swear, to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help us God. So he said, do we swear or affirm? Because I'm going to be obedient to Jesus. I affirm to you. I'm going to let my yes be yes. How good does that work? You know, do you feel like, oh, that politician swore on the Bible to defend the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic. So that's what he's going to do. No fear of God. If I don't fear God, I don't fear lying. I don't fear perjury. I don't fear extortion, bribery. I don't fear anything. And a culture cannot... Our culture is falling apart because there's no fear of God. Because we forgot. We forgot. Because we didn't teach. Because the people don't know a thing about what the Word of God says. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are all around you. For the Lord your God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord your God be aroused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth. What's good for the world is not good for us. Jews did start worshiping idols, and God had to judge them. Why? Because if he doesn't judge a disease that starts, then the disease completely destroys. So God had to destroy more than once his chosen people that were in rebellion, so there could be a remnant that stayed. A remnant so there could be a Jesus in fulfillment of prophecy that Jesus is going to come from your brethren. And so he had to judge them when they were from Babylon. He had to judge them using Babylon because they would have completely self-destructed to where there is no Jesus coming as a Jew born in fulfillment of the prophecy. And for us, you know, if you're truly saved, you're never, you already belong to Jesus. You might fall into sin. You might have times in your life where you forget. You start letting the world creep in. But if you're a child of his, the Holy Spirit's going to slap you up right pretty. And you're going to get slapped, and because he loves you, he's going to say, I'm going to take you to the woodshed. And you're going to get caught. And you are going to realize this world's passed away. And then we cry out, a true Christian cries out, and I go, I can't believe I was being so foolish. And just, Lord, thank you for your forgiveness. And I'm going to be set free from this. I'm going to go walk with you from now on. Help me, God. Because we have a love of God. We have a fear of God. And we live in this deceptive world. And if we aren't staying in the... How many of you are going through the Bible as we planned since January? Okay, it was... Praying there would be more hands, but you know, it's okay. No condemnation. And see, if you have been going through the Bible, where are we at right now? We're at Joshua. We're at Joshua going through the Bible. So you've already read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and you are now in Joshua. And you're seeing the people coming into the promised land. And see, that amount of history in your brain is making this study more important because it's all familiar to you, what the law of God said. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah. What did the people do at Massah? They said, man, we're thirsty, and you brought us out here to kill us, and we just need to go back to Egypt. God is saying, really? I'm a Christian, but you know, God has so mistreated me, I'm just going to go back to doing drugs and alcohol and get drunk again because he didn't give me what I wanted. I didn't get that job because Joel Osteen told me I was going to get a better job, and I didn't get that better job, and so forget him, you know. And God said, oh, better not do that, because what does that show? That shows you don't know God, because he is our Lord and Savior. And then it says, you shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, his testimonies and his statutes, which he has commanded you, And you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you, and that you may go in and possess the good land of which the Lord swore to your fathers, to cast out all your enemies from before you, as the Lord has spoken. When your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. So today, Daddy, why are you always insisting our family goes to church? I mean, isn't once a week enough? You know, if you go to Wednesday, oh, and I got to go to youth group and they're teaching me there. I sent me to Sunday school to do this. I mean, all my other friends are home and they're gaming. They're asking me why I can't game with them. You know, they want to zoom in and game with the people. Why can't, you know, Daddy, why can't I? Why can't I? Why are you always into this Jesus and telling me the Bible? Well, because, son, daughter, whoever, I was lost in my trespasses and sins. I was on my way to hell. I was enslaved by the devil and the sin that he inspired me to do. And then one day some people told me about Jesus and I came to be a believer in Jesus. And as the Creator, he told me in his word, you know, there's heaven and hell. The end game is heaven and hell. The devil's on his way to hell and he knows it. And he wants you to go there. He wants to deceive you through your friends, through your school teachers, through society. He wants to deceive you to join him in hell. And as your parent, I want you to have life. I want you to have everlasting life. And God said that his word needs to be put into our hearts, that we might not sin against God, and that we might receive forgiveness of Jesus. And that's why we're such fanatical Jesus freaks parents. Right? But if we're going to be radical about something, I mean, why be radical about the Hawks? They lost, you know, what's his name? Everybody wants to be radical about something. I mean, how many, the whole world is doing their, what do they call it, doing your brackets, you know, we're doing the March Madness brackets, oh, you know, the world's falling apart, going away. But he that does the will of God abides forever. That's why the Word of God is telling us to get it into ourselves, get it into our children. Not that they're going to listen, because they get to do what they want to do. But when the judgment day comes that they decided to go to hell, at least you can say, I tried. I did what I could to instill the truth into their lives. And the rest of it is up to them and their decision of whether they're going to follow God or not. Who was the only perfect parent? God in the Garden of Eden. What happened? His kids flaked and decided to listen to Satan instead of God. And so it's not, but we can assist the enemy by not even trying to put the Word of God into our children and let it be a mission that would happen in our lives until he takes us home. Amen. Father, we thank you for your Word. God, I just so stand in awe of your mercy and grace upon your creation, God. Because history is really full of man just over and over and over again seeing the effects of sin and rebellion against you, destroying their lives, destroying their countries, bringing misery on an individual level and whole societies, and then judgment comes, and the revival comes, and then man so quickly forgets. And God, for those of us that love you in this room, we realize we can easily forget. And we pray that you would help us, using this teaching today, using this section in your Bible, to instill upon us a greater desire to truly look at what the end game is and all the things that are passing away and the things that will last forever, and to have our diligence on what is going to last forever. And God, I pray for all the children in this room that are being raised by godly parents, and maybe they are being turned and tugged at by the world, that God, you would just do a wake-up call in their minds, that this world is truly passing away and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. To open their hearts to receive the instruction and the discipleship of their parents, that they would willingly want to learn about you and to give a deeper affection with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength to realize that they should devote their lives to serving the God who so loved them that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for even them. Help us all to walk in a deeper love for you. In Jesus' name, amen. We love Jesus, you know, just like the guy, yes, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Jesus, I love you, help me love you more. Can we all say that? I want to love you like you love me. That's a lifelong goal. So, God bless you, keep you in his care.